Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live. Must start and file in app by 2/18.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Oh, the Kings were back at home. Golden 1 Center. The site of a game against the lowly Washington Wizards, who did compete. They battled last night against the Golden State Warriors on the second half of back-to-back. How were the Kings going to look at home? Was this going to be a classic Kings letdown game, or would the Kings handle business? Well, the Kings handle business tonight.
Yeah!
They are now 9-2 since Doug Christie took over. They have won 6 straight on the home floor at Golden 1 Center, where they're back to 500 at home.
Oh, my. Give it up.
They are 22-20 on the season, tied for 8th in the West, right there in the thick of things. They could be in 6 before we know it. They beat the Washington Wizards tonight 123-100. Domantas Sabonis with a monster night, 29 points, 18 rebounds, 12 of 16 shooting, knocking down 2 of 3 from downtown. The Kings are feeling good. And as Keon Ellis told us after the game, the vibes, immaculate. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. What a weird, bizarre season this has been for the Sacramento Kings.
Yep.
Just a few weeks back, we were down bad. I know there's still a long way to go. We still have the second half of the season here. But to be 22-20 right now.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I mean.
Who could have predicted this? Maybe a few people say that they would have predicted this with a little bit of change. I didn't think anything like this was actually going to happen until maybe a roster change. And you're seeing this inspired basketball being played, great vibes, all the different things. Doesn't mean that there's still not flaws that are being exposed in some games and whatever else. But at the same time, we can talk about that in a loss. You know, we can discuss those things when they're further exposed in a losing game. Right now, the style of basketball this Kings team is playing is phenomenal. It's and I say that the style. They're missing shots in a game like tonight and still found a way to get things done on the defensive end, to still find a way to attack the basket, get points in the paint, rebound the ball, whatever it was, to find a way to get the W against a bad team.
And I think coming into tonight, we were all wondering, all right, they've been playing well, but this is one of those sneaky trap games, right? That we've seen, hell, the last 2 years, the Kings have played the Wizards and lost. They play them every year. Good one, Deuce. They play them every year, but the Kings have lost to them twice in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. That first year under Mike Brown, when the Kings won 48 games, just before Christmas, the Wizards came to town and beat the Kings. Not a good team. Much different team, but not a good team. Then last year in D.C., the Kings lost to the Wizards, a bad team. And so, I watched that Wizards-Warriors game last night, and I went, dude, they're knocking down threes. But the Warriors' defense was atrocious. They allowed so many good looks.
Oh, yeah.
It just was not good defense. And the Warriors still found a way to win that game. My whole thought tonight is going back to what you were saying. all right, if the Kings just lock down defensively and don't dick around and do play the whole, hey, it's a 6-win team. We can kind of just play around tonight. We're just going to go through the motions. That's where you end up losing a home game. I thought tonight they set the tone early. I thought they were aggressive defensively. I thought their closeouts on three-point shooters were fantastic. The ball pressure was there. And they were missing shots, but still felt like they're in control of the game.
Yeah, and that's where you just didn't see that before. And you don't see that often with a team that isn't playing together, that isn't good enough. And this team is showing that they can be good enough. Not only good enough to play, I keep saying the right way against a bad team. It's hard to say that sometimes when some of the shots weren't going in, but they were getting good looks too. But that's the thing.
And that's where, again, in the NBA, there are going to be nights you miss shots.
Absolutely.
And for Sacramento this year, the three-point shooting has been so inconsistent. We know that. Mm-hmm. And tonight they were 12 of 39, 30.8%. Look, I mean, they're not going to win every night when you shoot like that. We've seen that a lot this year, and it just, you know, it's frustrating. But when you compete defensively and the communication's there, the rotations are there, the help
is
there.
The energy
is there. You're helping the helper. You know, you're double teaming at the right times. You're rotating well. You know, the Wizards really didn't get anything easy tonight besides Jonas Valanciunas, who was 9-for-11 and awesome in this game, but only played... What do you only play 22 minutes? I'm sorry. I'm watching him going, if he keeps playing in this game, I think it might get close. There's a chance it gets close. And you knew like the Wizards going to pull him and put Sar back in because
they don't want to
play
win.
The young guy. And like big picture here, you know, they want that number one pick.
Yeah.
They want the best odds of getting the number one pick. But I you know, Jordan Poole tonight, did he get really anything
easy?
No. And he ends up with 12 points on 4 of 12, 11 points on 4 of 11 shooting. He was 3 of 9 from downtown in the game. Kuzma didn't really get anything easy. I mean, maybe one layup that you're like, oh, okay, that was a breakdown. 13 points on 3 of 15. He was 1 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
So I just thought the Kings, like, when you're taking on a team like this, the last thing you want to do is give them any confidence, especially after how they shot the ball last night in San Francisco, 22 of 45 from three. They handled their business tonight.
Well, I think even Doug in some of his timeouts, like when he would call the timeout, and it was like, wait, things aren't out of control. I don't give a shit. I don't want them to get any momentum, but also it's not just something I saw from that play. It's something I feel like this team could use this timeout and really benefit from this timeout and the adjustments that we can make so that shit doesn't happen again. And I think those moments have been happening more in it, especially in a game like this. I thought at times when Alex Len was in there for longer periods of time, I got nervous. No, I did, because we're starting to see with someone like Alex Len that he's not having his best year. And his time out there on the floor, we've seen some better days from him. And I think for him to be out there for as long as he was, there's times where the Wizards could have capitalized on that, especially with Valanciunas, and just gone at him. And then he started to pick it up more with a few more minutes. And I just like love the way that he just got a little bigger, did a few extra little things, poking away at the basketball.
And I wonder if Doug, you know, his mentality there when he was sitting Sabonis for longer than I expected. I think that was in the third quarter.
Yep.
So he takes Sabonis out at the 4:12 mark, and it's 81-68. He doesn't go back to Sabonis until, I don't know if that's right. I mean, he ends up, I think, in the fourth quarter. But there are stretches where Alex Len played a long time, and you're like, all right, well, is this Doug just like going, you're playing the Wizards, you're going to get an opportunity, you're going to get a little longer leash to get into a rhythm because you haven't been playing much. He ends up playing 16 minutes in this game.
Yeah. And so I guess my whole point to this, though, mostly being, is I felt like guys were able to get things done even with certain rotations, even with certain lineups out there. And I liked it. I like what we're seeing. I like that their ability to figure things out when they're not making shots. De'Aaron Fox, 4 of 12, and he was asked about it after the game. Doug was asked about it after the game about, you know, when he's missing those shots. Oh, good.
Here's what Doug had to say after the game about that.
I told you guys before the game, like, in my opinion, this isn't an off night for De'Aaron because scoring isn't everything in basketball. Like, this guy is, like, He's like that. And the fact that he can affect the game without putting the ball in the bucket all the time is next level, man. Like, he's drawing people, finding people. And then guess what? On the night when it clicks, you're going to be like, damn. And, like, I am super, super excited and proud of him, man. Like, how he goes about his business. There are times where I'm like, you want this play? He's like, nah. My man's rolling. Let's rock with it. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's maturation. That's leadership. That's, I'm here to win the ball game. I'm not here to be whatever everyone thinks I need to be. And that, to me, is like, is everything. To watch him go on the journey and then to be on the journey with him. Like, this is probably, it sounds weird, but one of his better games. Like, he controlled the game in a way that the stats don't indicate, and that's big time.
Well, and I think that's been a theme of De'Aaron a lot of the times, but I think on the nights where he scores 27, 30 points in a game, that's what we talk about, you know. But if you go back and watch the game, if you're like a real basketball sicko and you have time in your life, go back and watch a game and just go look at
every De'Aaron. Single De'Aaron play,
whether he's a good game or what you think is a bad game, to see what it looks like. And I even thought, like, last game, I'm like, dude, he did some great shit last game against Houston. They played him physical. He missed some shots, but dude, he was impacting things. And I thought tonight, he even set the tone defensively. I thought he was just aggressive early. And I think that's a wrap on him. That's been fair, is like, hey, he doesn't come out of the gates like aggressive, ready to go defensively. He did that tonight.
He came out of the gates trying to set the tempo, the tone, whatever. But also, I remember there's times throughout this game, I'm like, Deuce, look at him in the backcourt right now. Just slowing down this possession for the Washington Wizards, trying to get the 8-second call, doing whatever else he could do out there. And just making an impact there with his activity. But then you look at the offensive end and dropping 13 assists.
Yep.
Like, that alone, especially on a night where Domas and Malik each had 4 assists, right? So De'Aaron was the facilitator. De'Aaron was the manager out there getting the ball to the open man, because he makes the defense collapse and pay attention to him.
And I don't want to sound like a coach here, but I'm eager to go back and watch to see how the Wizards were playing the two-man game of Monk and Sabonis. We talked about how effective that two-man game is, but because the Kings don't just rely on it consistently, there are other ways it can beat teams, right? And so Fox was more of a distributor. He set guys up tonight. I just felt like the Monk Sabonis two-man game, Monk didn't have like the same pockets to get the ball to Sabonis.
Yeah, because of the Wizards, whatever defense they were playing and just getting their hands, their bodies in those gaps.
They have a lot of long guys. Mm-hmm. Koulibaly's long, Sarr's long. When Valanciunas is in there, you know, he's physical too. Like, so Sabonis' stuff, like, it felt like it was coming on drives at the top when he's aggressive early on, attacking Alex Sarr. Dude, how many times did he dunk on Sarr tonight?
Oh, my God. And it was so angry, aggressive, and I just loved every second of it. Yes. No.
I don't know how I got there, because we were talking about De'Aaron. Yeah, sorry. I do know how we got there. But 12 points, 13 assists for De'Aaron, only 2 turnovers. I thought defensively he was really good, too. So on a night where he goes 4 of 12,
0 for 5
from 3, how are there other things you could do to impact the game? And he did. So
also on some of those threes, you know, they were short. I didn't love all the threes that he was taking. But I thought there was times too when he was driving to the basket and he was getting like pushed in the back.
He was getting
fouled where it was tripped up, whatever, where it was making such an impact on his shot or him just driving to the basket because people can't keep up with the speed, and he wasn't getting the respect he deserved on some of these calls. And that's what's it's even more frustrating, not only when you're missing your outside shots, but then you're trying to do the right thing and take it in, but it's getting disrupted by illegal play. I don't know. It was one of those nights.
The other guy that we got to talk about, Domas Sabonis, dude. Talk about coming out and setting the tone. 29 points, 18 rebounds for Sabonis. And not only does he lead the NBA in rebounding, I've got some breaking news this hour.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis leads the NBA this year in 3-point percentage. He is shooting 48% from downtown this season after going 2 of 3 tonight. He is number one. in the National Basketball Association and making it rain from downtown. Can we put him in the three-point contest in San Francisco? We should talk about it.
Actually, I feel like the buzzer would go off. Like, he would not be fast
enough. He would be like trying to get on the thread.
Sabonis, time's up. You're not even on the third rack.
But he makes everyone all the way up to the...
good job. You made all of them, but yet we're only on...
Just make the magic ball. I like this. Let's push for this.
In all honesty, though, like, he's already attempted more threes and made more threes than he did the entirety of last season when he played 82 games, right? So we've hit on this a lot, but it's pretty cool to see him number one in the NBA in three-point percentage, and he's taking more than he has ever really taken.
And let's bring up the sequence that we talked about seven different times on the post-game show. It was the back-to-back threes for Domas Sabonis. Beautiful. And then the final play down, he gets a steal in transition, dunks it, throws it down. It was
part of this season, the first
a whole beautiful sequence from Domas, but his ability to knock down multiple outside shots and then he steals the ball and, you know, goes down in transition. You're just like, you are the definition of 0.5. You're able to stretch the floor. You're able to confidently put the ball on the floor and play defense at a high level, even on the outside.
And the other thing with him, Morgan, is we've been on him about shooting more threes.
Yeah.
He's done it. He's hitting them efficiently. And then the free throw percentage is up this year too, which should be talked about more because last year this team was dead last in the NBA in free throw percentage. Dead last in the NBA in free throw percentage. And we talk so often like, hey, a lot of that is because Fox and Sabonis, your guys who get there the most, are not good free throw shooters. Mm-hmm. They have to shoot it better at the line. To those guys' credit, like, they have stepped up. Sabonis has increased his free throw percentage by 7%. I think Fox is over 8%. Fox is coming into tonight over 81% at the line. Sabonis this year is at 76.7. That's not great, but he was at 70 last year.
Yep.
So it dipped a little bit tonight because he was 3 of 5. The Kings go from dead last to number 2 in the NBA in free throw percentage. That's a big time jump, and that's a credit to Fox and Sabonis putting in the damn work. And I think that sometimes when we talk about players in the NBA, we act like they are what they are sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And it's just not the case. Like, you can, if you work on your game, you can improve it. You know, like someone like Sabonis, who has so much skill, he's been working on the three for a long time. He's been working on the mid-range. It's one thing to work on it. It's another thing to apply it in game action. He's applied it this year. He's not hesitating. And look at what he's able to do.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah. I mean, really good shit. When you look at all those numbers, all those percentages, all those averages for Domas, and he's available. He's reliable. He's on the floor. You know, he keeps up with his health. And he's such a passionate basketball player. That's the other thing. When he's just like roaring at the crowd or whoever the hell is next to him and just... it's been really fun to watch.
When I was a kid, and I know you're going, kid too. So, I mean, you must have been a kid, 10 years ago?
Yeah.
I know what you're thinking. But when I was a kid, Chris Webber used to do the snarl.
Yeah.
And he'd scream a lot, dude. And I just love that there's a guy on the Kings that does that now.
Yeah.
Has that, like, intensity. Like, the veins are popping out of his arms. Like, he's,
And it's like... And it's a good guy. Like, you think about Chris and like how everyone just loved Chris Webber for so many different reasons. And then you think about Domas and it's translating into wins. Like, there's so many, it's not like fake energy, you know, or like this, like,
no, it's passion.
I got one dunk and we're losing by 60. No. It's real.
The next guy we talk about, Threon Ellis.
Oh, I like that.
Threon Ellis. Dude. His confidence from three right now is pretty absurd. And he's been a good 3-point shooter, but like, I feel like he's more willing to take ones that aren't open now.
That aren't open with a hand in the face or just a little bit more pressure on him.
He is shooting this season 44.6% from downtown, taking just under 4 a game. He took all 8 of his shots tonight were from 3, 6 of 8 from downtown. Let's not forget, against Houston, he steps on Sabonis' foot, goes down. It didn't look good. he's playing the next game.
Yep.
And he goes out there. Well, what has jumped out to you about Keon? Like, I feel like it does look different.
Well, especially in a game like this, when he hit half of the Kings threes tonight, they made 12 and he hit six of them. But it's kind of like you said, being willing and able to hit it with a hand in his face, knowing that his shot is good enough, his release is high enough. End of the third quarter when he knocked down that one after the jump ball, and just like, he didn't hesitate. He was looking at everything around him and seeing how he could get enough space to get a good enough shot off. And you're just seeing him make some good decisions without hesitating.
We did talk to him after the game too. Here's our conversation with Keon Ellis.
Deuce Mason talking about another Kings win. The beam is lit. The fans are happy. We're happy here. Oh, and it's time to go straight to courtside where Keon Ellis is standing by now. And Keon, we're just talking about this game, six straight at home. What's been the biggest difference playing on your home floor in this stretch?
I think when you're home, you know, you have to use the energy that the crowd gives you. We've been playing great, you know, on both ends of the floor, you know, playing for each other, whether it be offense and defense, you know, making the extra plays, rotating for one another, and, you know, it's contagious. So, especially when you're at home, you know, you want to keep that energy going. So, you know, we've just been rolling with that.
So, Keon, there have been times where maybe a team like this can come in here and beat you guys. This is a six-win ball club, but you guys handled your business tonight. I'm curious, what were the conversations with Doug before the game talking about preparing for this team?
Well, you know, it's still the NBA, so, you know, they're gonna come out and give their best punch. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it all comes down to us, you know, and coming out and executing what our game plan is. So it's never really about the other team. You know, if we come in and do what we need to do, we know the end result will be what we want it to be.
You were obviously feeling great from three-point land, but the one at the end of the third quarter where it knocked out to the corner, you somehow got it to go in. What was going through your mind with that one?
You know, I can't remember which one you're talking about, but I mean, anytime I'm shooting it with the most confidence. So,
Keon,
which one?
It was the jump ball, end of the third quarter,
okay.
And it came out to you.
Yeah, I mean, well, I knew it was only a couple seconds left. So, if I wasn't giving it back to Fox, you know, it was time to, you know, do whatever I was going to do. So, I mean, I knew I was going to shoot it at that point, and, you know, he just didn't press up. So I just went to my shot, and, you know, that's what I do.
How would you describe the vibes right now? You guys are 9-2 in the last 11 games. Where are you guys at?
The vibes are immaculate.
Ooh.
Immaculate. Right now. Yeah. That's a good word.
I love hearing that from you. It's, you know, it's showing not only with the way that you're talking to us right now, but obviously within your game, the style of play. And is that really just translating on the floor for you guys too, the immaculate vibes?
I mean, like I said before, you know, we're just coming out trying to execute the game plan, you know. I think we had a talk earlier in the year, you know, like when plays are made, you know, you want to hype your teammates up, you know, to give ourselves energy. We already know the crowd's going to do their thing. So, you know, we're trying to do our part as well. So, you know, if it's going good, it's going bad, you know, just sticking together, trying to bring one another up and, you know, trying to weather the storm and, you know, just try to get a win.
Well, this was a fun one to watch tonight. Thanks for another beam. Thanks for another win. Go enjoy it with your team.
Thank you.
There's Keon Ellis with us after the game. He says immaculate vibes, but one other note.
Yeah.
I just love that. Like, we talked to Keon and DeMar tonight, and both at the end, you're like, thanks for the beam.
Thanks.
You're just like praising them. Yeah. Hey, thank you. Thanks for another beam.
You know, without you, this city would not see light tonight. So thank you for a beam. Like, the world depends on them to light the sky up with the beam. Also,
I'm happy for that guy, man.
I do feel bad, too, that I said it was a corner three. And that's why he's like, I don't know what three you're talking about. I'm like, damn. I meant it wasn't a corner, but whatever. Right. So happy for him. And when you asked that question, he said immaculate vibes. Like, his smile, his body language, the opportunities that he is so deserving of. And what a great, humble guy, too. So happy.
You talk about the smiles. He's smiling. Keegan's smiling. The stat I saw tonight that blew me away, coming into tonight, Keegan Murray over the last week, 17 smiles. It was insane. 17 smiles. It's a career high for him. You're smiling at the end of the game. Like, what? This guy's cheesing all the time now. Okay.
It's because you used that on the pregame show already, where I really liked it. And using it again, I could tell.
When a stand-up...
Oh, no. He's going to get mad.
Look, people who are comedians, when we do stand-up, like if we go to a new city...
You've done stand-up before?
In some ways, I feel like I'm doing stand-up now. You know what I mean? So...
You try it out for
me. You didn't hear all the applause and laughter when I said that.
Well, I guess there's a few people laughing.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anyway, appreciate everyone hanging out with us live right now on a Sunday night. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Massive audience hanging out. And Oleg, I got to be honest, man.
We're going to cut you off.
Someone take his log. Log him out. Log him out of YouTube.
Appreciate it.
He has donated a lot of money tonight on the Super Chat, which is much appreciated.
I mean,
I think like you donated $400 and then you just donated $69.
Yep, nice.
Let's go. Let's support the people passionate involved in what we love. Any amount, y'all, let's get it. Appreciate that.
No, you're very sweet, and thank you, but knock it off.
And Reno also donated. Appreciate your love so much, Reno, donating.
Thank you, Reno. Yeah. No. You guys are far, far too kind. Appreciate you supporting our podcast.
Man, Oleg, on fire tonight.
No more.
Anyway, I am so happy for Keon Ellis, though, because you just think about... You know how this year kind of started for him, right?
Yeah.
Starter, not playing, this, that. You know, I was looking back when they played Houston before last game, you know? And he did not play in that game, the first meeting. You're like, how is this guy not playing? And so it is what it is. He's playing now, and he's a big part of what they do. I think you know what he can bring defensively. Now, when you're seeing him be this type of, to see him be this aggressive offensively, looking for his shot, that's big time stuff, especially from a Kings bench that doesn't, you know, put up a lot of points.
Yeah. And I think that, and to also see him be able to just move up in that starting role when he's had to, when there's been injuries or whatever else. And when he's asked to do something, he has been executing. And he's human. He's going to have his nights where he's not doing his best, but you're never going to question his effort. Even if he has a brain fart or something else, it's like, no, it's not an effort thing. Like, I think Doug also does a really good job of making sure that guys are locked in. And someone like Keon wants to remain locked in, and not because it's threatened that he won't get playing time or see the floor, but just because he wants to do that for each other. And that goes a long way.
Other guy we got to talk about is Malik Monk. Talk about steady. 23 points in this game, 8 of 15 shooting, 3 of 6 from downtown. Good to see him knock down some threes. This is his 8th straight game with 20 or more. 8th straight game.
Wow.
Malik Monk with 20 points or more. It's just a bucket, man.
I love his energy and the spark that he provides every single night. I mean, what game was it? Was it the Bucks game without him? What game was without him? Okay. And you just... It was going to be a difficult game no matter what. But at the same time, you recognized how much you lacked without him, especially when it came to the playmaking and how he creates so much for other. And that's why it was so impressive tonight that he was creating his own shot. That pocket pass, the Domas, the two-man game wasn't there as much. So then you had De'Aaron who was facilitating and finding ways to create. And so for them to just kind of, okay, this is where I'm going to be tonight. This is where you're going to be tonight. This is where this needs to be tonight. Malik Monk just shines once again with his scoring ability. How many threes did he end up
three
making?
Of six.
He was 3 of 6.
Which is good. He had a really tough step back. Remember the one he hit? That was good.
Always has a tough step back. Nasty, hand in his face. It doesn't matter. He's so confident at times. I love the way that he pushes the pace. But yeah, just another solid night from Malik Monk.
DeMar DeRozan, shout out to him with 24 points. What? Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for going back to that. Malik Monk, that windmill that put the nail
Jesus.
In the coffin.
Jesus! Oh! My God!
That was sweet.
Yes, it was. Thank you.
No, I think that's what makes his game so fun, too. You know, I think for so long he's been labeled as, like, he's a six man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you see, and this is what sucks as a player sometimes, you get labeled that way. Then everyone views you that way.
Uh-huh.
Fans, coaches, other teams. Like, oh, he's a six man. He's just like a spark plug off the bench. And now, you know, he's getting his time to actually get over 30 minutes in a game, to handle the rock a lot. It takes pressure off De'Aaron Fox. The playmaking, the shooting, the energy, just the
what
confidence.
What he can be as a point guard in this league. Yeah. You know, you think about what's a true point guard, and you just think of usually a facilitator, someone who's just their handles are out of this world. But I think for him, he does everything so well, and he can play that role so well.
The guy I was going to talk about, DeMar DeRozan, quick shout out to him.
Yes.
It wasn't the most efficient night for him. 9 of 21 shooting. He was 6 of 7 at the line, 24 points. That was enough to surpass Allen Iverson on the all-time scoring list.
So
he
cool.
moves into 29th all-time, right behind Steph Curry.
Ooh.
So DeMar DeRozan, just an absolute bucket, Morgan. And
yeah.
So it was cool to see him, you know, have that moment. Because, you know, like, and we talked to him after the game. I'm going to try to pull that up,
okay.
too, because I think he really just appreciates those moments. The fact that, like, he grew up obsessed with the game of basketball, and here he is passing a legend like Allen Iverson.
Yeah, and I love the way, too, that, you know, when he talks about these things, he just has so much respect for the game and just, like you said, just for the players on this list and understands what a big deal it really is.
So here's our chat with DeMar DeRozan after the game.
Inside the locker room, and DeMar, what another fun one here tonight for the Kings fans. Another beam. You know, we were talking to Keon about these home games. What's been the biggest difference for you guys in the way that you've been playing at home?
One, we've been taking it personal. You know, one thing we try to come in the season priding ourselves on with respect of our fans is, you know, protecting home court. You know, they do a hell of a job cheering us on, showing up, packing out the house. It's on us to do our job. So, you know, we kind of took it personal when we seen our home record. And we understood we just got to take advantage of that if we really want to be a good team.
Debo, you went past AI tonight on the all-time scoring list, 29th all-time. When that stuff happens, we're talking about Allen Iverson here. Like, what's going through your mind when you hear that?
I mean, it's still hard to believe. You know, these guys that I grew up watching, idolizing, had a chance to play against, to just hear your name in that type of category, it's amazing. You know, as a kid, you wanna do great things that guys you watch do, and to be in amongst of a crowd of those incredible players, you know, it's definitely humbling.
You know, in a night like this, too, you go into this game taking on a bad Wizards team, especially on the road. You guys started missing a lot of shots, but you kept going. Yeah. You kept attacking. What is going through your mind when that is happening? Is it, hey, we just need to pick it up on the defensive end, got to keep shooting? What happens in those moments?
Just stay with it. You can't let it waver your confidence at all. You know, we understood we got to go out there and compete regardless of their record. They still play extremely hard. They still have a lot of talented guys on that team, and, you know, you can't take it lightly. You know, I think for us, we just stayed with it. We knew we wasn't making the shots, but we stayed aggressive offensively and defensively.
We talked to Keon right after the game, and what a game for him, knocking down 6 threes. But I asked him about what the vibes are like right now. He said they're immaculate. How would you describe the vibes around this team?
I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's that winning feeling. You know, we're trying to make it something contagious to continue to have this feeling. That's what you work for. You know, like I said, we had a tough stretch where it seemed like it was a dark cloud over everybody's head. You know, it was on us to change that around, and to see that we're doing it, it shows you that, you know, anything is possible.
Well, this winning feeling is contagious throughout the entire city. So thank you for all the beams as of late. DeMar DeRozan, thank you for joining us.
There's DeMar, as Morgan thanks him for the beams.
I mean, it's true. Like, aren't we all thankful for the beam? Doesn't the beam control all of our lives?
And I swear to you, when was the last time it was like super overcast all day? You talk about the dark clouds. I feel like dark clouds literally have left since the Kings have turned it around. Like, what the hell is happening?
I don't know.
Oh,
that's
man.
Why let me be thankful. Let me praise the beam gods.
Just outrageous, dude.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for the beams. They're like, yeah, you freaking weird. I sat down with Keon Ellis for King Central that will come up soon or whatever, and that was the first thing I started with. I said, oh my gosh, so much fun lately. So many beams. What's it feel like? And I just keep on going with the beams thing. I don't know why.
Oh man.
Whatever.
Matt George had an interesting video before the game that I wanted to share. Dude, here's what I know, man. You got to be careful around like Sean Cunningham and Matt George because they're always watching some shit, dude. Like they got their camera out and they like catch things. You're just like, how'd you catch that? So obviously Kyle Kuzma has been tied to Sacramento for like his entire career. He was almost traded here at one point. It was so close to being done. And then the Lakers ended up pivoting and sending him to Washington in that Russell Westbrook deal years back. He resigns with the Wizards. Well, before the game, Matt George catches Kyle Kuzma greeting someone before the game. This is before a tip-off. Kuzma walks over, jogs over to shake the hand or fist pound Vivek Ranadive. Is there anything more like, hey, please let me come. You go up to the owner of another team and dap him up right before tip-off? What the hell was that?
I don't know. But maybe they because of all the talks.
Oh, you're gonna say they're friends.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe they're friends. No, maybe because of all the trade rumors over the last couple of years, it feels like, where the Kings are interested or he's been in the talks. It's like they've had chats, right?
I don't know.
Like, it has to be. I don't know. I don't know. It'd be like, you can't just act like it's nothing, but at the same time,
it's just a little bizarre. Yeah, the Kyle Kuzma conversation is one I struggle with all the time because, like, on the surface, you go someone, you know, with his size and athleticism, you know, in the past he showed some good playmaking, and you see his ability to finish sometimes, like, yeah. And then there's so many times you're like, oh, why did you take that shot? That's not good. Why did you mess up that play? He's having the worst year of his career.
Correct.
So his value is lower than it's ever been. Very probably low. Making it easier for someone like Sacramento to acquire if they had interest. But I don't know. I just have such a tough time with Kuz because, same. You know, you've seen him on a championship team buy in when he was with the Lakers. But, you know, it's just tough to evaluate when you're on such a bad team. I mean, you're on a 6-35 team.
It's hard to evaluate, but also where you can evaluate is what type of pride are you also leading with when you're out there, right? And when we see him have his moments in games, and I'm talking about the bad moments, the moments that it feels like, oh, where's the basketball IQ or the effort or the things that you really need to worry about? Because you know he is athletic, he's big, he's long, whatever. But, I mean, shot selection, all those things have to come into play, even when you're on a bad team. Like, you got to have that pride to still play the right way.
I hear you, but I think sometimes it's easier said than done, and not everybody has that. And sometimes people need a situation to kind of get them right and be focused and be in a winning environment with good energy. And when you lace them up every night and you go, you know, again, they have lost, you know, lost 35 of 41 games. They're 1-17 on the road. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying.
But I'm saying if they don't have that, though, is that the type of player you want? Is that the type of mentality you want?
I think that the thought is that when you look at someone like Kuzma, if you got him in the right situation, if he buys in, you could go, ooh, I see his fit.
Deuce is the girlfriend that's like, I can change him.
No, it's,
I can change him.
Environment matters. It does for some, you know, and I would love.
You know, I agree with that.
Yeah.
100%.
And so, like, who's to say, you know, he can't go to a winning situation, whether it's somewhere in Sacramento or somewhere else, and buy in and thrive.
But what also is he going to do when adversity hits in those situations? Because that's what you also have to look at when they're, again, I'm not totally against the idea of Kyle Kuzma still years later. Definitely not. I think it's something, especially if you're buying low, get him, get Jonas Valanciunas. Well,
and now that's the guy I'm watching tonight, Valanciunas. And I understand there's like, Valanciunas doesn't move great all the time, right? You know, but dude, like, as a backup option to Sabonis, dude.
And that's my, I mean, that's my point.
He could step out, he could hit a jumper, he could bang down low, he's tough, gets rebounds. Tonight, Valanciunas had 23 points, 12 rebounds on 9 of 11 mm-hmm. in 22 minutes.
For the right price, you know, of whatever it would take for, you know, even these two guys. But let's even just go back to Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, for the right price, it would make way more sense. But at the same time, what you've seen also with someone like Monty McNair is that what they value in certain guys, it really is yeah. that mentality, that work ethic, all those different things. And I'm with you. Like, there's no reason to say he can't have that if the situation is right. But you also want the type of player that knows how to handle it when things are not going right.
And last year, he averaged 22 a game for the Washington Wizards, 6 rebounds, 4.2 assists. He played 32 minutes a game. He's playing 5 fewer minutes per game. Check this out, though. He is averaging 14.4 points per game. His lowest since his third year in LA. He is shooting 26% from 3. His rebounding is down slightly, playing fewer minutes. And the assists are down, too. They've got other guys handling. But, you know, he's 29 years old. It would definitely be a gamble for sure. But you know, you also go, God, if he just bought in, you could see why he would help the team. If you squint, you could see it. You have to squint.
I see it.
Get out and run. Alley oop, lob, thread. Big.
There was a time I was all about. I was excited for
the next few weeks are going to be interesting. Yeah. We've heard so much with like John Collins and Cam Johnson today. It's like, oh, the Kings are favorites to land Cam Johnson. I'm just like, all right, here's what we all need to do a good job of in the next few weeks. And I feel like I have to put this warning out all the time.
Here we go.
Nowadays, all you need is to pay for a premium X account and take a good picture and put out trade rumors. People will pick it up. But the next thing is, everyone's got an agenda this time of year. Don't just like take every report you read and go, well, that's the news. It's like, no. If it's a source telling some NBA reporter something, there's an agenda behind it.
Yeah.
One Western Conference exec says, oh, I think the Kings are favorites to land Cam Johnson. Now everywhere it's Kings favorites to land Cam Johnson. I mean, it could be one guy's opinion. I don't know. Yeah. Like, what are we saying here?
So, they could have heard it from one person who they just trust is a good source. And it's like, okay, but what does that even mean?
Yeah. I just be careful with what you believe in. Like, you can consume it and read about it, but don't take it like, oh, this means it's happening. There's a lot of agendas out there from like scouts talking, execs, agents, players' parents, security guards. Like everyone hears something. And what you realize, not just the sports world, but you know, specifically in the NBA, it is like high school. It is. There's people who are petty, who drop rumors constantly. Mm-hmm. They make up shit or they have a reason why they're putting it out. You just have to understand that perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
And I think you can have fun with it, but as long as you're just, I don't know, fair in your thinking / don't take everything so seriously. And then that's when shit's fun. That's when I love the little rumors.
Do you like the idea of adding Valanciunas?
Duh.
Okay.
Duh. Oh, no, I hate a guy that can drop 23 and 12 off the bench. Man, no.
And if you're trying to make a deep playoff run, you might have to throw another, you know, if Sabonis needs a rest. You got Valanciunas to match up against Jokic, you know?
Dude.
Long way to go.
I know.
It's not perfect, but, like, I see him and I'm like, it's the toughness. And, like, he's really close with Sabonis.
I know.
Also, I have talked to people who know him well. And, like, I have a friend who knew him really well with the Pelicans and says he is, like, the best guy ever. Like, a great locker room person. And someone told us that.
Yeah.
Megan McPeak, who is awesome broadcaster with the Wizards, silent reporter. She's like, oh, my God, Valanciunas, JV, is the best.
The nicest. And it was funny. I was talking to her downstairs in that hallway of where the Wizards come out. And I accidentally backed up, and I almost backed up into him as he was coming out. And he's like, he was just, like, so polite.
He elbow you in the face.
Like, get out of the way, bitch! No, he just said, he was like, oh, excuse me, ladies. Like, just so polite, so sweet. I'm like, I'm not, what a gentleman?
Yeah. What a nice guy,
like,
man.
Oh my God. Just even just something so simple like that. You're just not used to that thing. And it's, yeah, It'd be really cool.
All right, we got more of the podcast coming up. We have to look ahead to the Kings' next opponent, the Golden State Warriors.
So fun.
I can't wait. We'll take a peek at the NBA standings. I have some interesting numbers, too, to get to about the Kings in the Doug Christie era.
Okay.
But we have to mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union.
Yeah.
Morgan Reagan, put the ones up.
Put the one up.
We're all one with Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. And if you join, how about the fact that you can get up to 50% off Kings home games? Yeah. Ooh. The place where the Kings have won six in a row back at 500. Also, you get discounted merch as well.
Dude, in the upgraded seats?
Dude, you
saw the other day that fresh upgraded seats just courtside.
Are you kidding me?
For some members. So, like, that easy. Become a member. Not only can you get all these cool perks with the Sacramento Kings, but obviously you can start a new financial journey today.
Yeah, go to goldone.com. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. If you're looking for new windows, Morgan Reagan, there's no better place to go than the experts at Northwest.
There's no better place. And they're so easy to talk to. It's not intimidating. And
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that person.
You are that person.
If the windows are shut and you're trying to talk to them on the outside, you won't be able to hear them.
That's a good thing, though, right?
It's great, but you said they're so easy to talk to. They would not be easy if the window was shut.
Oh, see a stretch. But he's a comedian, so he has jokes everywhere he goes. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. And he's not wrong. They're noise canceling windows and they keep in all the heat or all the cool air and save you a lot of money. And they have current sales right now. So you can upgrade your window system. You can purchase 7 windows and a patio door, get a huge discount. So there's 100% financing available and you can call for all the details.
During the 30th anniversary sale?
Mm-hmm.
Well, check out their website, northwestexteriors.com, because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Also presented tonight by our friends over at
Rocket Money. It's the start of a new year and it's the perfect time to get organized. I organized all my budget on Excel sheets and now I can do it all in one place with Rocket Money on a very easy app. It has all my subscriptions in one place and it helps me easily cancel ones that I might not notice that I'm even paying for.
And just so you guys know, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using this app's features.
Yeah, those premium features are amazing. So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/gameon today. That's rocketmoney.com/gameon. rocketmoney.com/gameon. Morgan Reagan.
We need like a music thing after that too, but go on.
Who would be your simply the best player of the game tonight?
3 on Ellis.
Okay, here are the options.
Oh.
Sabonis with 29-18-4. Malik Monk, 3 on Ellis, or Debo, who moves into 29th place all time on the scoring list. 68% of people who have voted say Domantas Sabonis. Over 1,000 votes in. Morgan says 3 on Ellis. Let's see what Deuce Mason has decided, because I have the final say.
Yeah, obviously.
As the basketball mind.
Yeah, I guess.
Domantas Sabonis.
Hey, not mad about it.
29 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 of 16 shooting, 3 of... That's not right.
Oh, no. Jebediah is a dead man walking.
He was 2 of 3 from downtown. Jeb, I'm just going to be honest with you. Jeb. I'm not going to get mad tonight because you were trying to give Sabonis a little love, and that's fine, but he was 2 of 3, and the only person it makes look bad is me, so figure it out. Yeah, thanks. Anyway, Domantas Sabonis, 29 points, 18 rebounds, 4 assists, 12 of 16 shooting, I think he had 7 dunks on Alex Saar, the rookie tonight.
Seven, correct.
At least.
Yep.
And he's officially the NBA leader in 3-point percentage. Amazing. At 48%. The Domantas Sabonis are simply the best player of the game.
Fair enough. And once again, just coming up big. And I feel like almost every single night, you could probably give him that award.
Yeah. He's been steady. And he deserves a lot of love for what he's been able to do this year. I also wanted to give a shout out probably the fan of the night. Is that fair to say?
Okay. Fan of the night.
Fan of the night is this kid who is at the Kings game losing his mind, screaming, "Light the beam." And if you notice, he's got like this button on his Kings jersey. That means it's his first ever Kings game. Aww. You talk about a core memory. This first game, he's losing his shit.
That is so freaking
look at
adorable.
The arms raised.
It's like you feel like you're part of it. You feel like you helped light the beam for the city to see tonight. Look at that. So cute. He was
amazing.
Cute.
Amazing.
He was cool.
Kings over the last 11 games in the Doug Christie era, they're 9-2.
Uh-huh.
Number 5 in offensive rating.
Okay.
Number 8 in defensive rating. And they're tied for 2nd in points per game.
You guys, but you look at all those numbers. That's great. And also translating into W's. But how fun has it been to watch? And especially on the home floor when we've seen some shit wins, even some shit games, wins and losses. But even some of the wins where it's just like, oh, they won ugly tonight. Where you're starting to feel like they are really coming together with this style, this product that is so enjoyable for any average basketball player that is watching to really enjoy.
It's awesome.
Average basketball fan.
Fan player, whatever. Yeah. Both.
Any basketball player.
The Kings wrap up this mini 3-game homestand against the Golden State Warriors. They don't play until Wednesday. Mm-hmm. The Warriors, meanwhile, play Monday night against the Boston Celtics. I think the biggest question mark at this point is who is going to be available for the Golden State Warriors on Wednesday? Because last night against the Wizards in a game they won, Draymond started, left the game with a calf issue. He's limping around after the game. Then Steph tweaked his ankle. They're already without Pajemski. Kuminga still out. I think Kyle Anderson missed that last game. So they're banged up. And this is a team that started 12-3 this year. Since then, they are 9-17.
And they play Boston Monday.
They play Boston Monday, and Wednesday's game in Sacramento is an ESPN game. But why watch ESPN? No offense. We love it. It's cute. Deuce and Mo on pre and post game on NBC Sports California for that game.
Thank you.
It's a national TV game. But
who gives a shit?
Yeah. Oh, no. Some people out of touch about your team
that
are
just
going
to talk about, the beam. It's cool, but I don't really get it.
This Keon kid.
Or how about this? But they beat a Washington Wizards team that isn't good. So are the Kings even really that good?
Exactly.
Who do I sound like?
Tim Bontemps.
Oh, yeah, him too.
Yeah. Anyway, we're on pre and post game that night.
So join
Kings
us.
Warriors, so that's definitely worth checking out. I want to see if there's something else I want to hit on real fast. Blah, 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 blah. I mentioned the last 11 games and the Warriors coming up. Before we dive more into the Warriors.
Yeah.
With how the Kings are playing, I mean, this is 11-game sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Not nothing.
Okay.
But it's not everything either. I think I asked you this like last week on the pod at one point. Do you think this is how they're playing is more who they are than obviously what they were before? Like, or do you think it's more in the middle? Like, where do you...
I'm trying to think of if you look at the matchups for the Kings and then beating even a really good Boston team, right?
Yep.
In their loss to Milwaukee, it was not a pretty game by any means. No Malik
Monk.
Bad
first quarter.
Yep.
47 points in the first.
That's true.
And
that's
the rest
true.
Of the way you were tied. Or
fair. Fair, fair, fair. That's totally fair. But for the most part, even against these teams, we talk about how hard it is to win in the NBA every single night. And they weren't winning these games in the beginning of the season. So when you're seeing them pull out the W's with a, again, a style that is so not only enjoyable for us to watch, but I think for them to play with, how could you not believe that this is what they are? I could totally be wrong. Yeah. I didn't, when they showed me who they were at the beginning of the season, not making any shots or anything. It's like Mike, it didn't feel like it was Mike Brown's fault that they were missing all these shots. But what yeah. you are kind of seeing now, and again, not to put like all the blame on him for any reason, but what you are seeing now is that they were also not feeling it. Whatever actions or style that Mike Brown had them playing in within the offense, they didn't show it through all their body language. They showed frustration and losses,
yeah.
but they were like still were mature and professional enough to be like, okay, we're just going to keep playing how he's saying.
You know, and I think there's also a point to be made that like maybe could they have done this under Mike Brown? I don't know. I'd say probably not. Like this 9 of 11 stretch. Yeah. But I think they could have played slightly better. Some of Agreed. The shooting numbers, you're just like, it doesn't make sense. Their net rating's good.
They're missing,
like if they start knocking down some shots, it's different. But I think what you just said, like the playing style is different. Uh-huh. It is free flowing. There's less thinking. And then defensively, you know, I think it looks a lot better. I mean, it feels like they're not allowing as many wide open threes. Like yeah. when you watch, you're like, oh, the corner three is not open every time. Like yep. they were overplaying the paint sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And there was so much recovery playing. Now it seems like you're seeing more switch. You're just seeing different coverages, right? You're seeing sometimes they switch 1 through 3. Sometimes they switch 1 through 5. And if someone's helping, you're helping the helper. The closeouts, like even tonight, were fantastic. The rebounding has been better at times. So
don't you? And again, we could look back at this in weeks from now and be like, oh my God, can you believe we thought this team was more of this and said that? And really there were, but either way, how can you not believe that this could be it?
There's going to be ebbs and flows. And I think we all acknowledge yes. like the Kings' weaknesses. I don't think the weaknesses have changed, right? Like the 3-point shooting is still, I would say, a weakness. It's been better at times, inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
The size can be a detriment, right? I think those are still, you know, primary issues. But I think the Kings, this current roster is playing to the offensive potential that we thought and yep. then defensively better than I thought.
And what is this current roster going to look like when they do hit adversity again? Because it's going to happen. It might not happen in the same way that it happened before, but it's going
to
happen.
And I know we're going to do a deep dive into the road trip after next game, but just like a quick preview. I mean, they hit the road for a while after the Golden State game.
Yeah.
All right. They go the next night, they play at Denver. Second, I have a back-to-back at Denver. Like that sucks.
Yeah.
That airport is like 75 miles away. It seems like, I mean, it just sucks.
And what's the
altitude?
Thank you.
The elevation 5,000 is like, is it 5,820 feet?
Like a phone number on their stupid jersey.
Cool, man. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, but Denver, then you have to go at the Knicks, at the Nets, at the Sixers,
cool,
at OKC, at Minnesota. Now, it's not like, oh my God, crazy, but like Denver, New York, OKC, Minnesota, like four, that's tough.
They don't have many spaces of like, hey, we're good in this or feeling good in this one. It's like,
but outside the first one, there's only the first game is a back-to-back. Other than that, it's spaced out every other day.
That's good.
So that's
good.
That's good news. But they're on the road from the 23rd. And their next home game's not until February 5th. So they're going to hit the road for a while. And I think it's like, how does it look after this road trip? I mean, I guess you can say about every stretch. But, you know, like, this is a significant stretch before the trade deadline, which is February 6th. They come home, play February 5th. The deadline's the next day.
Yeah.
Who the hell knows, like, do they make a trade during this road trip? What's that look like? There's so many questions, but I'm with you on that. And I think the longer this goes with them playing well, like there's no doubt it's an indictment on Mike Brown. And it doesn't mean he's a bad person. It doesn't mean he's like awful.
No.
It just means that he didn't adjust. He didn't make the adjustments necessary. Like he didn't, like he became too rigid. And I think that's probably my biggest takeaway, you know, and we did a whole podcast. We were joking before. There's some comments someone left about, I can't believe you guys are so. It's like, dude, I'm sorry. At the time, 13-19, it just felt like it wasn't just Mike Brown. And I still maintain it wasn't just Mike Brown.
Use your eyeballs.
But I think with more information, one, seeing how the players have been talking about it. And then also they're backing it up with the style of play.
Yes.
This feels more, at least right now, than just like, hey, a new coach boost. You know, it just kind of happens.
It's been a little longer than a boost.
I mean, it's been a minute now, right? Uh-huh. Like that the first Lakers game, he got let go. Let's see here. December 27th. I mean, it's
kind of like whoever had that comment of Mike Brown walked so Doug Christie could run, you know, or yeah. you hire Mike Brown to change your team and you fire him once you're ready to move on and like keep it going in that same direction. I don't even know.
I think the saying I mentioned was a comment on Reddit that was like, your team gets better when you hire Mike Brown and your team gets better when you let him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a tough conversation. I just like Mike so much.
I know.
He's a great guy.
No,
like,
I know.
Oh, because he's good with the media. It's like, no, I think Mike Brown knows basketball. I think Mike, honestly, and I would say this to him if I ever talked to him, is like, probably became a little too tight, too rigid, and your team clearly was thinking too much. Well, and we saw your rotations were a little weird.
When we were fired from radio in 2016, like if we saw them or that show successful right after, it would have like dug a little bit, like, oh my God, but it sucked. And it was great. And that it felt great that it just wasn't good and the station wasn't good. And so it just made me feel better at that time, knowing that that was kind of the case. And so for him, he doesn't get that. He gets to see this roster, how constructed, going in this direction of like success. And that's got to sting a little bit. And it does make you reflect in a different way.
It has to. And I think the other reality is I think the Kings are playing a style that he wanted them to play, but I think maybe just being too tight and micromanaging certain aspects and maybe, like I said, being too rigid about things where Doug is, you know, some people go, oh, it's too positive. It's like, no, dude, I think he's just giving the players what they need. It doesn't mean he doesn't get on them. It doesn't mean he doesn't hold them accountable and tells them things. His approach is just different. I think approach is everything just in life. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. Approach. Oh my God.
I want to get to some super chats before we talk more about the Warriors.
Yes.
Oleg has just been a man on a mission tonight. I don't even know. We've said his name 1,000 times, but he has donated a lot of money in this game. And the other Oleg donated. Appreciate that.
He just
Kings.
Created a different account.
No, this is Oleg who donates all
okay.
the time.
Okay. Oh.
Appreciate him. Kings keep lighting the beam. Kevin Durant donates a couple of bucks saying, sign me instead of Jonas. Shout out to Reno for gifting a sub. Jacob says was working. I missed the game. Hopefully it was a good one. Excited for Golden State because I live in Warriors territory. Also, Oleg donates. He gifted 50 Deuce and Mo memberships tonight.
Dude,
wow.
So kind. Thank you guys.
Heather and Steve donate 10 bucks saying best thread ever. I'll have to re-listen to the podcast tomorrow. Hashtag team Oleg. Also, Kevin Durant says I ain't got Oleg money, but here, I'm going to do my part.
That's too kind. Just you guys being here is support. So thank you.
We appreciate the super chats. It's really kind. We appreciate the chats in general. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, it's not, we're not like,
everything helps.
It's about you guys hitting the thumbs up, subscribing, just being here, hanging out with us.
Yep.
But you guys, everyone here is amazing. So thank you. Appreciate everyone for donating, everyone for just being here, consuming our podcast. People who say what's up to us at games too, you guys are amazing. Golden State Warriors. I mentioned they started 12-3, 9-17 since. Weird. I don't even know what to make of Wednesday's game. Whether Steph's playing or not playing or Draymond's playing, whatever. To me, it doesn't change anything. Like, close out the right way at home before you hit the road. Like, I really do believe the Sacramento Kings are a better team than the Warriors.
Yep.
I think we saw that when Sacramento went there, last week without De'Aaron Fox and smacked them around a couple weeks ago, whatever that was, when they won by like 30 points.
Yeah.
They were awesome in that game. And I think they just have to keep this going. You know, it's going to be a great atmosphere. People are going to be amped up. You've got some good momentum at home right now. You just take care of business, whether Steph's there or not.
Yeah. And that's, again, I hope they just keep the same mindset that they've had in some of these games and some of the tough games and some of the games that they're going up against one of the worst teams in the NBA. It's, you think about the crowd. You're going to have Warriors and Kings fans both in the building.
I don't know. I feel like the Warriors fans might have like jumped off the bandwagon. Ooh. Now. I don't know, dude. I'm just kidding. Let's look at the NBA standings, by the way. Golden State, they are 21-20. They have won two in a row. They are a half game behind Sacramento for the ninth spot. Sacramento is tied right now with Minnesota, who's in the eighth spot. Sacramento is also just one game out of six. The Lakers are in six right now after getting smacked around by the LA Clippers tonight in Los Angeles.
It's fun.
You know, do you at all feel bad for Steph? Is there a part of you?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You have a heart.
Why I have a heart? Because he's been such a ambassador of the game for so long at such a high level, the way that he treats media, the way that he plays the game. Like, it's like in wrestling when you love a good heel, like you hate them so much that you like love that they were so good at that. It's not that he's necessarily a heel. If anything, you'd lean toward him being a babyface. But the night-night bullshit, all the like, one, two, three, four, when he gets all those four-point plays, and you're like, you little shit. And I love how much he's made me hate him in those moments and feel those emotions, because I think it makes me have even more respect for him and how he plays the game. He's a competitor. He's a shit talker, but he backs it up.
Yeah, but this year, just like even watching him against the Wizards last night, there was a play where I think it was a second chance opportunity. He was wide open in the corner, and Buddy just launches a three, and you just see Steph Curry put his head down like.
But then
Buddy missed the shot. Guy Santos tipped it out to him, and tipped it out to Steph, and he buried a corner three. But watching Steph, I don't know if it's just I'm overanalyzing shit now, but like, dude, he's got bags under his eyes. He looks exhausted. He looks more frustrated than ever. When you watch him, these teams, it doesn't matter who they play, they are like all over him, because they're like, I'm not worried about anyone else. We're just going to take this guy out of the game. They don't have KD anymore. They don't have Clay. We're not scared of Dennis Schroeder. Buddy Hield. We're not scared of these guys. We know that guy can beat us. And now they don't have, I don't know. And let's be honest, like as talented as Steph still is, and without that help, like it's easier to defend.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, it's still Steph, but he's also just getting older too. So you add all those factors. He needs more help than ever. And the guy just looks exhausted to me.
Because he is. And I think he is mentally, physically in so many different ways. And when I say I feel bad for him, I don't want him to do well. I don't want him to finish off his career on a high note just because, or like him as an individual, do what you can. But I don't want his team, because his team is going to be the Golden State Warriors, and it's way more fun when they're playing G League guys and sucking. It's just way more fun. And I think it's even more fun just, and I'm being petty, obviously.
Obviously.
I think it's more fun too, because they don't have a roster or a style or an identity that is just like, this is so fun to watch. This is good for the NBA when they're good. No, it's good for the NBA when Steph's good and the organization is not doing enough to make sure that they are giving him what he needs for his final years. And I say they're not doing enough, but at the same time, I get it. It's tough with the amount of money you have to spend, the amount of money you have on your roster right now. But like, get it done. Get it done, but don't.
Yeah.
But like, don't get it done.
So who knows if he's going to be able to play? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how bad the ankle thing was. I mean, we mentioned Keon, you know, he looked like he was in bad shape in that Houston game, and then he plays tonight. So Warriors play Monday night against the Boston Celtics. You want to hear what Doug Christie had to say after the game, Morgan, to the team? Yeah. Here's Doug Christie following the Kings win inside the locker room.
This is a professional win, and that's what I was looking for from you guys, to come out and be pros. Not in a game you're supposed to win. That ain't what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that you have the ability to come out and play at a certain level and a certain standard. When that fucking standard is met, the byproduct is usually winning. It won't always be that.
Player of the game, two verts, two blocks, staying ready in the next games. Hey, Lynn!
Alex Len gets your defensive player of the game, Shane.
Two verts.
He did have that vert where they challenged, where Kispert drove. He went straight up, and like Kispert got an elbow right into the face of Len. Doug challenged it. Boom. How about the message he had for the team after the game? What do you think of it?
I loved it.
The business approach.
Yeah, the professional approach. And that's exactly what it was, right? Not a game you're supposed to win. That's what he said. It's not about being a game you're supposed to win. No, it's about just like, showing up and being a professional and doing your job, not just because you get paid a lot of money, but because you take pride in what you do. And even when we talked to DeMar after the game about winning on the home floor, and he's like, we're taking it personal, you know? And even I know, get pumped up, because if that's how that's making us feel, think about how they're feeling about things in there.
I don't think there's anything I've wanted more as a fan of this team than for Doug Christie to like turn this shit around.
I know.
And keep this going and be like, to me, it would be a great story.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's already like a good story, but like if this team kept playing at this type of level, somehow got into the top six after this start, and the players are raving about Doug Christie, it's just cool. I don't know. I just love the guy as a player. He was an absolute dog out there. And what I love about Doug is this guy was an offensive player at Pepperdine. And when he got to the league, like, with the Lakers, I believe, at first. And then I think he talked about when he got to New York with the Knicks. Pat Riley was the coach. Yeah, he went to L.A. to New York. And he wasn't really playing much. And if he wasn't playing, like, say he played 4 minutes a game, he played 2 minutes a game, he would have to do a certain amount after or whatever. And Pat Riley was telling him, like, if you're going to make it in this league, you have to become a defensive player. Mm. And that could be humbling for a guy who showed in college like he can get buckets. And so what he did, he embraced it. He went to Toronto, shined, then came to Sacramento, and then elevated his game to another level. He just had such a good basketball IQ, defended some of the best guys in the league at the time, was an all-defensive guy. Probably should have won Defensive Player of the Year, but that's a different story. And then to see his love for this city and what the city means to him. God, I just want him to succeed so bad.
I know. It would be so poetic, so great. So,
someone in the chat wondering, hey, Mo, are your shoulders good? The baby Dan wants to know, are you good?
Why?
Were you moving them a lot?
Was that?
You having shoulder issues?
No, but you know, it's funny. Chat. Really?
Yeah.
Was I doing it? I don't even know. No, my shoulders feel good right now. And usually, like when I get that phantom pain, if anyone knows what that is, when you think about your shoulder, like, popping back out of the sock or something, like, I'll do things like this. But no, I'm good. Thank you for checking up on me.
Also in the chat, Deuce's enthusiasm is amazing and hilarious, and the contrast of Morgan's quirky, chill energy is dope.
I'm quirky and chill?
That's one way to put it. Like, wake up over there, you know what I mean? Like...
Wait, what? No.
I want a game, you know? Let's go. I'm not talking about tonight.
Whoa.
I'm not talking about tonight.
Oh.
Hey, relax, dude. Man.
You guys think he yells at Jebediah? Well, like, I'm like the real life Jebediah. There's literally a podcast, like two podcasts. No, you're gross. And he was like, I just feel like if you're tired, then you should just, like, you know, somehow find a way to bring the energy. And I was like, I was good. Like, I thought I, like, my breakdowns were good. I thought everything was good. And I was like, just because I got tired at the end of a podcast didn't mean, like, I didn't bring the energy. I'm sorry I have four jobs. And so then I find a night where I go, okay, you know what? I'm so tired. It was 7 o'clock. I got 10 hours of sleep. And then the next day he's telling me that, like, what were you? You're talking shit about me getting 10 hours of sleep. Like, what do you want? What do you want from me?
I really... struck a nerve there, huh?
Yeah, and you know you did. Like, look at you. You
the puppet sociopath. Master is at it again.
Sicko. Sick.
Can we talk about Rashawn Holmes' homecoming? Yeah, Rashawn Holmes is a member of the Washington Wizards. He did not play tonight, but I know he went on Twitter after just talking about how special Sacramento is to him. I was thinking about him watching that Warriors game last night. Just like, man... people's journey in the league, like, he fought so long, finally got the starting spot when Dwayne Dedman era, man. And then, you know, you get to a certain level and the Kings aren't very good, and then, you know, they trade for Sabonis. It's just like, but he's pretty much done after that.
But
he had the eye injury.
We were talking about this the other day too, I think, when we were talking about the Wizards, and we were talking about his journey, and I was like, think about that time though, situational. We always talk about that with players and how it can create different opportunities. He got paid because of that two-man game with Tyrese Halliburton and what that made him look like as a big and sometimes unstoppable push shot that he had in the paint with Tyrese. And that was what helped him make more money and get the extension, right? Yeah. And so anyway, it is, I'm glad that that happened for such a good person and everything, but it's still just wild to think about, like, now he's not even playing even on the worst team of the league.
It just feels like he should be able to contribute in this league too. Like, and I know he didn't play on that Kings team a lot his final year, the year they made the playoffs, but I'll never forget the game in LA where Sabonis was out and he came in and like had a huge game and he was emotional with us after the game talking to us. But he's always going to be one of my favorites. I like guys that just like bring it, you know. He's kind of that undersized big, but just his family was awesome too. Yeah. How they celebrated, you know, the maybe 30 wins the Kings would get back then.
So, it was cute.
Yeah, so shout out to him for sure. Rashawn's a real one. Okay, I think we hit all the comments. I want to make sure we got all the super chats too, because Oleg was just on one today. Do you have any final thoughts, Morgan?
Thank you guys for supporting us in every way, shape, and form. Like Deuce said, you know, you're seeing so many super chats and gifting all these subs and everything, but also just all of you guys that are typing to us all throughout our live podcast. And even after, we just appreciate you all the thumbs up, all the things. We really appreciate. Oh, and all the people that come up at games and talking about it, and so many partners that come up and go, you're at our house all the time. Can't even turn you off.
Well, it's been interesting too, because what we've learned, there's a lot of like, you mentioned, it's like, usually it's like, because it's such a,
basketball is so male dominated.
Yeah.
Males watch a basketball conversation. It's only men, right?
But it's like, no, there's actually like,
huge, huge women crowd.
And let's be honest, you know.
Oh, no. Here he goes.
You walk in the room and you see this strikingly handsome dude just with a great smile, kind of a charm, telling a funny joke. You're in the background. What's going on? You may sit down and watch me in enamored and be like, oh, wait. He has all these gifts and he knows basketball? I have to watch the eye candy aspect of it.
Ladies, like, and gentlemen, if Deuce gives you the ick, give me a hell yeah and give me a thumbs up on
give
the
me
chat.
A hell yeah.
Major ick. Major ick.
My final thought.
Yeah.
Domantas Sabonis better be an all-star this year. And I know a lot has to do with like, hey, how are the Kings playing around all-star time? But, you know, he wasn't an all-star last year, which is so crazy to me. He has improved his game again this year. It's gone to another level. We mentioned the three-point shooting, the free throw percentage, the constant double-doubles, leading the NBA in rebounding, the scoring. The guy is playing at an all-NBA level again. He was all-NBA last year. Send this guy to San Francisco, man. I know.
It's around the corner.
He should be in the All-Star game.
He can stay at his Napa house.
Give this guy some love.
I know.
Is he going to get some respect in this league this year?
What do you think? Probably not. I know.
He's just the most underappreciated guy. And people say, well, you can't create his own shot. I mean, I just can't create his own shot.
Again.
Okay. I mean, I know. Well, yeah, defensively, the rim protection. I don't know. Like, okay, but like, what about the rebounding and everything that goes into it? I don't know. Competitor available every night. Huge numbers. Gets his teammates involved.
Improved in different aspects of his game to actually like become and evolve into a modern day big even more and more. Yeah. No, for sure.
Anyway, that was my final thought tonight. Let's appreciate the journey, guys. 9-2 in the last 11 games. That's cool. We appreciate you guys so much for hanging out. We love you guys. Make sure to comment after. But we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know, Deuce and Mo.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.